Raise your hand if you would. And I want you to give me, I don't want you to shout it out because I want you to let other people think. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and not speak out. Normally I just like the informality of it, but let's do that at least for a little bit at the start. But name, well, let's first off start out this way. What do I mean by a God-ordained institution? A God-ordained institution. I don't want an example of it. I want a definition for what that means. Sean.
A group of individuals that, I'm trying to put this in my head, a group of individuals that come together because God has commanded and given the specifics about the group.
Group of people that come together as God commanded and do specific things that God commanded. Okay. Anyone want to add to that? Jenna?
Doing things that are either specified through guidelines or rules given in the Bible because we believe that is the basis for any God-given institution.
Okay. Are you thinking of ordinances, maybe? Or institutions?
Not necessarily ordinances, but just like a way of living.
Okay.
Oh.
Dad?
A called-out assembly.
Okay, that would be an example of one.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be God ordained? Let's start there. Lynn.
Probably something God set up.
God set up. Let's use that. God set up. What's an institution? What's the word institution mean? Sean used the word group. I'm trying to think of what else. Organization, possibly, may or may not be organized, but it's, maybe it should be.
Training center.
Could be a training center. A God ordained, so God set it up, all right? And I'm just going to use God set up. I'm going to use entity. I don't know of another word, and that was a good word, but it's a nondescript. Everything's an entity. Your cup of coffee can be an entity, right? But a God set up entity assigned specific role or roles and responsibilities. Okay, I want one example. Dad, tell me what it was again.
Training center.
Well, the one before that. Let's actually see you. You're waxing Greek on me. Yeah, which is another term is what? Assembly, I'll call it assembly here. A church, yeah. So we'll put church in parentheses, right? Because it's the people, not the place, right? So that's an example of a God-ordained entity. Did God set up the assembly? Yes. Does the assembly, it's a specific entity assigned specific roles and responsibilities, is that true?
Yes.
Okay, so that's fair. Sean, another one.
Family.
Family. Okay, family is another. Did God set up the family?
Yes.
Have you read the paper recently? Because culture doesn't think so anymore. No, for sure, they don't. There's, you know, define family, and they're like, we don't even like terms. They even get upset. I mean, it has to do with gender roles and responsibilities, too. Okay? But they don't even like the artificial intelligence language now, because if you ask, what is it, Siri or Alexa, it's a woman's voice, and you're saying that women are subservient. You know, the confusion is there. What's the next one? Lynn, you had your hand up.
Government.
You sure? Government. God set up the government? Just a quick question on the side. Is God Republican or Democrat? Just curious. It's like, please, don't make him responsible for either one. Okay? So, let's go back. Which one came first?
Family.
Where?
Genesis
1 through 1 for sure. you get more detail 1-3. Okay? So I'll add it there because there were changes in Genesis 3. Right? So we live under those changes. By the sweat of your brow. Right? Which one came next? The one at the top. When did that start? Thou shalt have a government.
When?
Moses in the Ten Commandments. You're wrong. Lynn. Where did that happen? Matthew, Mark, Luke? No. Genesis 9. Did God kill Abel or Cain? No. Right? It didn't start there, right? Cain killed Abel, but that wasn't capital punishment. That was fratricide, right? He killed his brother.
Yeah, right.
So Genesis 9, 6 specifically, and you're like, government? That's kind of gotten out of hand. Right? Capital punishment is a far cry from what we have today. You with me? A little more? Government's got a little bigger since then? And then when did the church begin? Or when does Jesus talk about starting the church? Anyone? Matthew 16, he mentions it. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, so that's where it starts. And then Matthew 28, he commissions the apostles, but he says, go to Jerusalem and what? Wait. When did the church actually then begin? At Pentecost.
Yeah.
Acts 2, right? All right. Which one has the highest rank?
Yes.
Judy. Okay. Did you hear that? None, because they're all God ordained. Okay. That's fair. I'm trying to think of how I would counter that, but I can't. Because I'm saying there's rank within structure, and there's times when the government does outrank me. Are you with me? I'm a dad and a husband. That makes me double family and a son and a granddad. Right? And you can go on and on and on. Second cousin once removed, right? I'm family. But the government has a right to tell me what to do at times.
I was going to say, based on our definition, each one has different roles and responsibilities. So depending on what role or responsibility you're in, depends on which one has the rank.
Yes. I threw the word rank out, but I won't use the word rank probably much, even though it's fair to use it. Because I don't think rank, I think like Judy said, it's not really a rank issue, it's a role and responsibility issue, like Sean said, okay? So, who ranks what? Listen, the government has the rank to put you to death unfairly. Can you name anyone in the Bible that was put to death unfairly? Jesus would be the first one that should pop in your mind. We mentioned that Sean wasn't even here Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about Pilate saying, Pilate goes, don't you know who I am? I could crucify you. And Jesus goes, you would not have any power unless God let you do it. And Jesus yielded to an unrighteous government and an unrighteous verdict and action by the government to put him to death. So in that sense, they have the right or the rank to do that. Right? It sounds horrible. Sounds unfair. Lots of people have died at the stake, either by the hands of the church or the government or even other people. Right? So in a sinful world, it doesn't, the government doesn't always do what it's supposed to. The church doesn't always do what it's supposed to. And a family doesn't always do what it's supposed to. Fair to say? Okay, so roles and responsibilities. Let me ask you another question. And this has nothing to do with rank. since, I'm trying to, whether I give you an answer while I'm asking a question or are they, why would I say that the family is the most foundational? I can't say that it's most important, and I'll explain why in a minute, but I'll say that it's most foundational. Why? Nathan.
Well, it instructs the people who grew up to be the parts of the others.
Yeah, this is where people come from, and this is where they're trained and relate to the others, right? And how to be a good citizen. Hopefully, as a Christian family, they're being influenced by the church, but also to take their kids and involve them in Christian teaching and interaction with the assembly, right? Because if the family falls apart, what else falls apart? What else is impact? Falls apart may be the wrong way to say it. Because families still exist, they just exist in broken states. Okay? But what else is impacted then? The church and the government. And we are seeing this at the on the edge of our society is trying to eliminate this whole idea of family completely. Read it. If you eliminate the concept of marriage, you eliminate the concept of family. You eliminate the concept of dad and mom. You eliminate the concept of a lot of things. And then when you mix it in with eliminating the concept of any kind of binary either or gender, it totally destroys. We still have issues in the military because of the whole transgenderism thing now, on top of homosexuality serving and all. And even women serving in the military is a relatively new thing. I'm telling you. Okay, in any capacity from a being in the same group. They did have some that served in a separate unit, or separate, what is it, the WAFs? The WAX?
Women Air Corps.
There you go, Women Air. But they were gender separated. Okay, or and some of the medical or whatever, but they weren't in the military, right? Until recent days, probably within, for the most part, within my lifetime. That's how recent it is. All right. So let's go here. What's the family's job first for itself? What's the role and responsibility, or roles and responsibilities of a family, just as a family, not as in relation to the church or the government? Because families have jobs. Okay, I'm going to use a shorter word, but babies, children, okay? Procreation, I believe, is at the core of marriage. Okay, do you know the first five commands that God gave at the first wedding? Were to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. All of those relate to bearing children. If you divorce that from marriage, you can redefine marriage any way you want. But if procreation is at the core, it takes a man and a woman. And by the way, it defines the roles of gender within that marriage then. Okay, almost automatically. So, procreation. What else?
To instruct them how to live.
Raise babies, right? It's shorter, right? But instruct them. You're not only to have children, you're supposed to raise the children. You're supposed to instruct them, right? You train them to do everything. Like, as in what? I mean, almost everything. Maybe not fly airplanes, right? Karate, you don't have to do that. But what?
Taxes.
Yeah. Okay. What else? I'm thinking, give me an idea of what that is. Like, what do you train your babies to do, your children to do? Are you going to have them have dominion over the earth?
Walking.
Yeah, walking, talking, tying shoes, using the restroom independently. Right? All of that. You get taught all of that at home. At least it used to be that way. A lot of kids now learn that from other places, right? Because the home is where you have babies, but not where you what? Raise them anymore. All right? So you're training them just basic life skills. Some of my kids, I think most of my kids can cook and probably cook better than I can and more than I can, right? But even the idea, you learn how that works, right? Because you know where food comes from, right? The grocery store. Right? And then I remember my oldest daughter. This was when ATMs first came out. What's an ATM? Automatic teller machine, right? You know, I don't even use those anymore. But we pulled up, and she was asking one time maybe to go to McDonald's or something. I was in school in Indianapolis, by the way. And I said, "Sweetheart, we just don't have the money right now." And she goes, "Well, why don't you go to the machine and get some more?" It's like, that is an excellent idea. I wish it worked that way. You know, it's just push print, zing, 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 zing. Eventually you learn about money, you learn about clothing, you learn about cleanliness, you learn how to pick up your toys, you learn how to get along with other people that are called your siblings, right? All of that starts there. Relationships. And even roles, gender roles, right? By seeing it done. As well as being taught, right? Money. My dad was a banker. Everyone thought he had lots of money. It was kind of funny because it was just the opposite. Banks don't pay a lot, especially when you're working with the customers. Don't ask me why, but you don't get paid a lot being a teller, and you work really hard being a teller. So my dad was a loan officer and all that, but I've told you this before, but he used to give us just this meager allowance, right? I don't know what it was. It was almost, he couldn't do much with it, but he was teaching us to save our money and give our money to the Lord and all that. That's all that is maybe in relationship to other things. But then my older brother and I, we got this paper route, 55 pages of papers, houses, you know, in like 5 or 6 blocks, and our house was in that delivery area. I was in the 5th grade and Jeff was in the 6th grade. He delivered like 5 or 6 blocks all the way down, and I delivered like 3 or 4 blocks of a linear did. He did back and forth and I did just one side of a road. Let me tell you, when I got that, it was the last time I ever saw any kind of money from my dad as far as extra. If he cared for us, he bought our food. We didn't think about food yet at that stage, but he would tell me, it's like, yeah, hey, Dad, there's this 3-speed bike I'd really like, and I think it would really help me on my paper route. And he goes, that is an excellent idea, son. You know what he said next? Save your money. And I did eventually bought that 3-speed bike and used it on my paper route. Right? I had a checking account when I was in the 5th grade because we had to write a check for the papers, right? Stuff like that, collections, all that. But all that kind of stuff, we learned how to do things. Mow the lawn, take care of the house, all of that kind of stuff. So any kind of maintenance and cooking and all of that, that has to do with life in general, right? What does the Church of God do? What specifically are its responsibilities? Bingo? No?
Reach out. Evangelize.
Okay. Evangelize. That's one aspect of making disciples, right? Is the outreach. Nathan? Edify. We're going to stick with E's. Edify. What's edify mean?
Build up.
Build up.
Yeah.
Right? To help them, to encourage them, to build them up, right? Teaching and admonishing one another, right? What else? Want to stick with E's? Go to something else?
Discipleship.
Training. What did you say?
It's care.
Care, and that's active involvement in people's lives, that kind of care, right? Discipleship. Someone said fellowship. Now, everyone here is thinking of a potluck, aren't you? But that's not really fellowship, but it can be, but it's not limited to eating. Right? We always think of fellowship and food together, right? That's what the F in STEM fellowship stands for, no doubt. What else? Some of them are, you know, when you say discipleship, what does that mean? That's a broad term. That's almost like live. That's teaching faithful men. That would be probably leadership development. So, leader. But what's fellowship? I mean, discipleship, I mean. A lot of people think it's like one-on-one or whatever. Do you know that discipleship is happening right now? Right? Discipleship is not really defined in the Bible in one specific way. It's teaching. It's being taught, it's being shown, it's being helped, all of that. Okay? It's not one thing. Making disciples is ultimately helping people become like Jesus. Right? It starts with evangelism, but then works through baptism. That's part of discipleship. Did you know that? And then on to teaching them to what? To observe all that Jesus has what? Commanded, right? There's a lot to obey Jesus about with disciples. What else? I'm going to put teach here because nobody else, I didn't hear you say it if you said it. But teaching, I think, is a core thing and it ties into almost everything else. What else?
Serving.
Good. Which you can learn it. Home too, right? Have you ever served at home? Good, good. That's very good. We're commanded to serve one another, right?
How about praying?
Praying. As a congregation, because that's also an individual responsibility, but it's one that encourages to do so, right? Definitely. They did so corporately as well as individually.
Encouraging. Should I got that with the E's?
Yeah, I was like, come on, man. And exhorting, which, by the way, this word can be translated, comfort, exhort, and encourage, are all translate the word parakaleo, right? It depends, on the context. But they all have to do with helping your brother or sister in the Lord along, right? Sometimes they're devastated and they need lifting up. Sometimes they're slowing down and being lazy and they need pushed. I think both of those have to do with paraclete. You come alongside, depending on the circumstance, that's what dictates what they need, right? Doesn't mean to kick. just so you know. And there's others, admonish and all of that. There's spoken encouragement, physical encouragement like the care, all of that. So there's a lot of one another's. We assemble together.
Discipline.
Discipline? Yeah. And again, that is actually part of, believe it or not, discipleship, right? But I'll put it separately. Discipline. We hold each other accountable.
Oh.
You find it in Matthew 18, and you also find it in Galatians 6, for example. All right. Very good. Yes, Lynn. What is worship, Lynn?
Where we glorify God, singing songs, praying, kind of.
So are you saying we're singing?
Not necessarily.
What I'm being the devil's advocate, but worship is Romans 12:1 and 2, sacrificing yourself as a living sacrifice is your spiritual worship. So anything you do is worship if it's done for God, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. But I'm saying, so just like we sometimes misunderstand even the word discipleship or something. So I'm not against the idea of worship, but most people, we go to the worship service and goes, why do you have to go to somewhere to worship God? You're attributing value to God for being here, yes. Do you know you're worshiping right now? I don't hear anyone singing. You're worshiping because you're doing what God wants you to do. So you're attributing worth to Him by obeying Him.
Yeah.
So when kids obey their parents, what are they doing? Worship. When you're working hard, the Bible says that you're supposed to, whatever you do for the glory of the Lord. That is what? Worship. Yeah. Right? So I'm going to put this music as well as other things, right? Okay. Now let's go to government. What's the government's job? Louder.
Protect.
Protect. Whom?
Everyone.
Okay, protect people, but let's talk in the context of government. Specifically, normally, a government is protecting whom? Citizens. That's the purveyance of who the government is in control of and responsible for. Sean, I noticed you haven't fed my kids lately. Why is that?
Not my kids.
Not his kids. Fair?
Although they can come also for a meal.
You fed my kids a lot. Just not recently. That's why I had to put that in. All right? So to protect people, and primarily citizens, why aren't we protecting other people other places? It's not our job. And by the way, you can't protect everybody everywhere. Why aren't the police here protecting in Des Moines, protecting people in Cedar Rapids? It's not their jurisdiction, not their responsibility.
To uphold the law.
The government to uphold the law?
Of course. Well,
to work within the confines of the law. So I will do that. I don't disagree. Okay, which, by the way, is grossly not happening. Yes. Also, they enforce the law. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Prevent everything from devolving into anarchy.
Yeah.
Enforce the law, which, by the way, let me put a word here, order. Government exists to maintain order, and it's largely out of one other P word. Because they punish the evildoer. In fact, sometimes to the point of putting them to death, and then they become the evil didder. Sorry. Okay? But there's two things that the government is responsible to do. And by the way, they are authorized to do that, to collect taxes.
Yep.
To do what? To protect, to punish and protect. What's not listed, by the way? We talked about this a little bit on Sunday. Yeah. Provide is not part of the government. In fact, the government can provide you with nothing. Honestly. What must they do to provide you with? They must either go into debt, which they're stealing from the future then, or they have to steal from other people and give it to you indirectly. It's kind of like the mafia.
Yeah.
then, okay? The government is not ever called on to provide. Who's called on to provide? Family, and then the church. But by the way, I would say that the vast majority of the responsibility lays here. And by the way, that ends up being individual responsibility. So you're who's responsible ultimately to pay your bills? Sooner or later? You. Unless, of course, you get a bunch of school debt and then you want the government to pay your debt for you. What is that called again? Stealing, because the government has no money. Do you understand? And I'm not talking about how much is in the bank. The government, by definition, has no money. They only can take it from their citizens. They have no money. They produce no money. The government is not a money-making entity. They're a money-taking entity. Okay? So they do not provide. What else do they not do?
Teach these children, that kind of thing.
Educate.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the government's job to educate. Except maybe if it comes within the parameter of protect or punish, you might need to educate them about the law. But where is the education found in the Bible? Family and then the church, secondary. The family teaches. Right? What is the largest union, it used to be, I assume it still is, in the world, it's the teachers' union, right? But listen, teaching is a form, the idea, I get the intention, I think everyone needs to be taught, it's good to know how to read and all that, but the government is not called to do this and they cannot do it efficiently. Okay? And they're not going to do it effectively. In fact, when the government's in charge and they decide that there is no God and evolution is now the center and there's no gender and there's no... Guess what happens to your education? Right? And by the way, I think because of these two things, it has primarily destroyed our government. Indirectly. Financially, from a providing standpoint. I mean, just one aspect when it's gone down now, but President Obama, under his presidency, almost half of the United States was on one subsidy. What was that? Food stamps. That isn't all the other money the government gives out. How much money does the government have to give out? None. So where does all that come from? Yeah, Elisa. It all comes from Elisa and others like her that are working. And you look at your paycheck and you're like, I know I make this much, but that's not how much I bring home. Right? And there's nothing wrong with taxes, but it's taxes for protecting and punishing, not providing, and not for paying somebody else's bills or whatever. And then I think the education part, number one, it's being funded by the government, which has no... So they have to take money from other people, which is called stealing, really. And then they're running basically a monopoly, right? They are. You have to fall into their parameters according to our current laws, and they're all different all over, but they, you know, we're there. But because of this, even in my day, and I'm old and young depending on who's looking at me, but they said after the civil rights movement, which happened in the 1960s. Some of the kids are like, that is so long ago. In the 1960s, after that, education changed so that they only just touch on early things about our government. They just barely, you hear a little bit about George somebody and Abraham somebody, And then they jump to the civil rights movement. There's almost no training. And by the way, if you do not understand how our government came to be and why they came to be, you will not like our government. You will believe anything out there. Okay, amongst other things. But I'm saying it is undermined, and now people believe anything they're told. Why is fake news such a big deal? Because people are so uninformed.
Oh,
yeah. You know, their idea of history is almost absent. But the idea of understanding what all the discussion was, and even the basis of our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all of that, that God should be separated from government, is totally ridiculous if you understand history. Now, that doesn't mean we had a perfect past, but don't erase the past. Learn from the past. Right? So, those are huge and probably massive on any scale. The government also works at a higher level of learning level. How do they do that? By the way, they mix the two. They provide. We talked about that Sunday where all the grants and stuff. Faith Baptist Bible College would shut down if it wasn't for government programs. And I'm saying that's a precarious situation. Right now you have the freedom to do what you want. But if you live off of the government will eventually turn you to do what you want, right? And I love Faith Baptist Bible College, right? I'm just using that as an example because they're 12 miles from us, or 8 or whatever. But who runs all of the institutions of higher learning around here? Primarily the government. They're funded, subsidized by the government. And then who teaches? The people that are not like you and I. The majority, what did they say? I read somewhere, 90 or 95% of the people that teach in higher education are liberal politically and religiously. Do you think that doesn't have an impact on our society as a whole? Right? Like one I read recently, I don't know if it's college or high school, but a kid got kicked out because he's told the teacher there's only two genders, male and female, and the teacher kicked him out of class.
Yeah.
By the way, all of that has really happened in the last couple of years. Believe it or not, where most of that is volatile. It hasn't been 20 years when we had liberal politicians saying abortion was wrong and homosexuality was wrong. 20 years or so. Bill Clinton ran on both of those as abortion is wrong and shouldn't be done at any possible time that you could avoid it, and homosexuality, I believe in traditional marriage. That was in the mid-90s. So we're not talking about all of this has happened just cataclysmically, and it's because people are not being taught the truth. They're being taught things that are not true. And they have no way to measure, because guess what? They're not going to church. They're not learning any basis for being able to evaluate the truth. In fact, they don't even believe in this, because God is belief in God is going down drastically in the United States, right? You know that, right? So anyway, big deals here. And again, if you confuse them, it messes things up, right? Each one has a place. Each one has a God-assigned place. Now, what's the relationship between the what's the responsibility of the family to the church? Or are there responsibilities? Some people think the family is a church and therefore you don't need a church. I would disagree with that. What's the job of mom and dad in church? Nathan?
The mom and dad are supposed to be at church and bring the children.
Yeah, so participate, and drag the rest, right? Hey, you don't send your kids to church, you bring your kids to church. And that you don't just go to sit, you go to participate, right? What else? That's it, Jenna, I'm sorry.
It's hard to edify anyone if no one is there.
Okay, so you have to attend and actively interact. There's lots of ways to say it, but you got to be there, right? What else? If they're doing these things, what must you do? Like, for example, teaching.
The family should be reinforcing what the church is.
Okay, reinforcing. I was even thinking one step prior to that.
Discerning.
Which is what?
What you're being taught. Is it true?
That's true. I don't disagree with that. I don't see that as a big emphasis. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but hopefully you're going in a group where it's happening. Yeah. What else? What do you have to do before you reinforce it? You have to learn it yourself, right? If there's learning going or teaching going on, does that guarantee that there's learning going on? Any parent here ever said, I've told you this a million times already? Any child ever heard that from your parent? Told you a million times already, don't exaggerate. How about, what else? Obviously, the things that are over here, but what's another one? How does the church function financially? Pie in the sky magic. No, we're giving. And you see that taught throughout Scripture. When you have something, you give God a portion of that, right? All that goes together. So you can say they have to participate in all of this, right? So that's up there. What's the church's job to the family? Or is there one? Is there a responsibility of the family to the church? The church to the family. Nothing? Well, you took a lot of pressure off of me as a pastor. Thank you.
Virtually all of those. And all of one another. Now, keep on saying,
but I'm saying specifically to the family. So, I agree with you. But specifically as a family to the family. Do you know that there's passages of Scripture directly to the different positions in a family? Like husband, wife, father, mother, children, even grandparents? So the church is specifically training the various people in their roles, right? What else? And again, training specifically as family beyond believers. I'm talking about specifically the family center. The church also would, again, encourage and help the family as needed. A lot of that's verbal, but it doesn't have to be verbal. It can be physical, right? Even the idea of the Bible talks about caring for the weak, the widow, the fatherless, right? Because they don't have a father, the orphan, and the sick, right? That's a church thing in addition to the family doing that. Right? So they're training them in their responsibilities there and as individual believers, right? What's the relationship of the family to the government?
Obey the law.
Okay, to obey and to teach to obey, right? Because you're teaching your kids. How do you teach your kids to obey the law?
By example.
By word and example, right? Both. So if you're disobeying the law, you're saying you don't have to obey the law, right? What, at whatever level. What else?
Pay taxes.
Does that mean you have to pay everything that is possible to pay? Everything that's legally possible to pay, but is it okay to take a deduction if it's legally possible to do that? Yeah. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. And the government even does that. When you have children, they give you a deduction because they know you're spending money in other ways, right? You're trying to keep them from starving. I'm thinking of teenagers, actually. Pay taxes. What else? Obey the law. And I would even say you're encouraging others to obey the law.
Oh.
Right. Where does... Go ahead, Jenna. I'm sorry.
Accepting consequences for what you don't.
Okay. Accepting consequences. We talked about that Sunday, even though you weren't here. We have the responsibility to disobey, but we also have the responsibility to yield to the consequences. Right? Where does military service come in? Is that a responsibility? Some places require everyone to serve 2 years in the military. You want to name one of those? I know one for sure. Switzerland. Do they make you serve in the military or just carry a gun or get training?
Okay, I thought you had to serve 2 years.
Okay. I know Israel does.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't necessarily agree with that policy. I'm just sharing that. But where does that come in? Go ahead.
Not necessarily military, but it's our job as family to teach our kids how to participate in government and make those changes, support the people both financially and morally, physically, prayerfully, that would be good candidates. So selecting helping to select that, so participating in government. Okay, and we can participate at the lowest level just by what? Voting. Voting, yeah. And it's amazing how many people don't vote.
And it's amazing how many dead people do. So it's just an amazing thing. But no, seriously, it makes the difference for the fraud and stuff. But let's go back to the military. And where does that enter in? If you're saying something, I can't hear it.
We have a draft that certain all the young men, 18 older or whatever, that are entered into the draft.
Okay. Is the draft active today? Should anyone serve unless they're drafted? By the way, I believe they've ruled that unconstitutional because if there are women can serve in any capacity now, including infantry division commanders, then there is no difference in gender, so there should be no exclusion for the draft, which I am very much against, right? I believe that men should protect. Who's the government? In our country especially, it's the people.
Yeah.
But part of a job of a man is to protect his family. And in, as an extension, it's his job to protect his family at a national level if necessary. Some people have even seen military service, as Bethany brought out, the draft as a form of actually what? A tax. I think C.S. Lewis argued that. It's a tax on your life. It's something necessary that we didn't celebrate, but many people did. 75 years celebration of what? D-Day. I mean, there's a lot of guys that went on the beach that many of them never even made it to the beach. But they were going in ridiculous situations. Why would you do that for anybody else? Unless there was a higher calling to protect. Right, so protect requires, so you're working with the government to help them protect your nation. So however that works out, but I'm not necessarily against a draft. I am against drafting women. I'm not even for women in the military, and especially not combat arms and all of that. I've seen that none of that was allowed when I was in the military. Not all of that happened in the last 15 years. That soon, they just pulled out all the stops. You couldn't serve in the military when you're a homosexual. It wasn't even a moral call. It was the idea that you can't have that in a military and have military cohesiveness. You can't have women there. I'm telling you, I was in a radio school, and most of us were guys. Like, guys everywhere, right? Because the majority of the people at that time were in the military. But there's one gal, and then there's like 800 guys looking at her. Men and women are different, and women distract men from doing what they're supposed to do. And I'm not saying they're not honorable and wanting to serve and all of that, but I'm saying it changes the nature of a military mission. And it should. Because men are there to protect. And it's upside down. But that's part of that. What's the government's job? We already know that, to protect and punish, right? But certainly to protect the family. What's the church's job to the government? Separation of church and state. Nothing. Is that right? They guide and influence, right? I think someone just said participate. I believe that was a word that came out of somebody's mouth. Judy. Praying. We're commanded to pray for our leaders. I mentioned that Sunday too. What else? We can always say teaching our responsibility to the government. Whose image is this? Caesar's. Render therefore to Caesar that which is Caesar's, right? Did Jesus pay taxes? Yes, he did, right? He had somebody go catch a fish and pulled the buddy of it. Okay.
He paid taxes and everything. That reminded me, what's going to happen when the law here in the United States, church is going to have to pay property taxes?
Yeah. Why do churches not pay property? We don't pay property tax on our building. And I don't know what the value is. I can't remember. We get it every year. It's like, if you paid taxes, this is what it would be assessed at. And you're like, we couldn't probably afford a month's worth of taxes. But why do churches not pay taxes? That sounds unfair. Property taxes. Because they understood it. The founding fathers even, they understood that the right to tax is the right to control. So it's not an issue of money. It's an issue of the government needs to not be telling the church what to do. And once they start charging tax on something, then they can start steering it.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah. So then that, we mentioned that with schools or whatever. Right? You have to fall under certain parameters then and do this and that. It isn't necessarily bad at the beginning, but it depends on who's in charge and how bad the law gets. And people have been fighting for quite a while now to remove tax exemption from churches. And when they do, it will literally shut down a lot of church buildings, because churches won't be able to exist. We could not exist in this building the way it is, even with a mortgage completely paid for and all that, if we had to pay taxes, because it would be an amazing amount of tax. Right? So, by the way, I think it's like $1.5 million, they call it, for this building. And I'm like, sold! You know, no one would give you that. So I'm saying there's this interaction here that goes on. We teach, but we must obey God rather than men, right? We obey laws. We do here. All kinds of things that we have to submit and yield to, because it's not onerous and it's just normal. It's not against us or anybody else. But the government's job is to protect and punish. Is its job to provide for the church, the government? No. That's why institutions got to be very careful of what you take from the government, because there's always a string or a rope or a chain. Right? And they have the right to tell you that. If they give it to you, you're making an arrangement with them. So, all right. I can't even make sense of this board now. But I'm going to hand out a sheet that says a lot of the same thing here. In fact, Caleb and Joseph are, I think, going to be kind enough to hand it out. It says pretty much the same thing in a little more formal way. But I thought it would be fun to have you think. Sometimes we get so used to just having the answers given to us, and then we shut off, right? And by the way, this isn't in any way exhaustive. It was just something that I developed, I think, a few years ago, and then I kind of refined a little bit in the last week. And it tied in a little bit with the separation of church and state. Church should exist and state should exist, but they're not meant to be different. They have different roles. The state, the church isn't supposed to run the government, right? We don't want a family running the government either. We don't need the dynasty of Kevin. That would be horrible, right? Or whatever. You know, it's the government has different functions. So, all right. So, three God-ordained institutions, and I would say that's really all that there are. You can argue maybe that nations would be another potentially, but that would still probably fall under a government, right? The nation of Israel, it's a people. But it would still be a government in that way. So it's good to know this. It's good to think about this. Separation of church and state is a foreign concept in the sense of the church has no business influencing the state or the government. The church has every business to influence because the church is, if you will, the teacher. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's what teaches the Word of God, right? And then it enables and encourages people toward righteous living. Okay, there's a lot of stuff in the sheet there, but we won't start over. But there are some key verses there that tie into all of this. So most of this you kind of know one way or another because we spent a lot of time in the family anyway. That would be a key one for you. So. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for teaching us. Lord, none of us can remember everything. And probably for a lot of us, it's hard to remember a lot of things. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember that there are three institutions that you set up. And without the family, everything else will not function well at all. And the family is being attacked on every side and vehemently in the last 15 years. And we could even say even in the last 10. But Lord, I pray that you would help us, you would protect us, help us to be faithful to the Word. And Lord, as time goes on, unless things change, we are going to look more strange and unusual because we refuse to take money from the government. We refuse to abide by the government encroachment into the church and into the home. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to pray for our leaders and seek to live godly lives, Lord, so that we can influence people through evangelism for the kingdom of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.